Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, a Black-owned radio network that addresses solutions concerning the Black community, presents Black Urban America, and is owned by We Talk Productions. All you guys that are listening by laptop, you can dial 516-531-9540, 516-531-9540 and press 1. The lineup on Tuesdays, we have Black Urban America, and I'm your host, Kenny Jones, and my whole co-host, Michonne Williams. On Wednesday, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne Williams. On Thursday, we have Part of Harlem with Wayne A. Young. Yeah, I think he come on every other Thursday and Saturday. My comrade in arms, the host of Provocative Thought, Carlton Sneed, that come on Saturday. And all shows are at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to give a shout-out to Shiro, Nazir Shabazz, Mutai Muhammad, Rich Hancock, and Hal Arnett will be our first sponsors starting in April. I'd like to give them a shout out for aligning with me. Also, I would like to shout out to the people that came on the show, the listeners, the downloaders, and the supporters. And I really, really thank you. Finally, I like to pay homage and give shout out to Carlton, Michonne, and Wayne. Carlton, host of Provocative Thought, Michonne, host of Cutting Edge, and Wayne, host of Port of Harlem. I thank you for joining the fight with me. And everybody, here's Michonne. Hey, Michonne.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. You know, we don't have a guest tonight. It's just me and you talking. And sometimes we just don't have enough time to do the shout outs. Because it's a 1 hour show.
Right.
And, I mean, it could be an hour and a half or 2 hours. But, you know, my attention span is not that long. I'll get a chance to thank y'all, thank all of you for supporting me or supporting this.
No, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, and I don't know when the last time we did not have a guest.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a minute. Bill, one after another preparation, you know, everything they want to discuss. Now we got to prep, research it, and guess what? We get into some heavy conversations, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You know, Folks, this is Black Urban America, and the topics, we just go discuss hot topics tonight, how it relations to the black community. And I'm going to start off with, I told him, Sean, you come on with four topics, and I'm going to come on with four topics and everything. And I got a funny feeling that one or two of them is, you know, without even discussing it, we're going to have the same topics. I'm going to start off with, right? The Atlanta shooting. The Atlanta shooting. I know.
Okay.
I know. It's an Asian community. In fact, this what got me, and this is what I want to discuss, how immediately they launched a COVID hate crime. The white shooter, white male shooter, taken into custody. How many black men, I'd be like, black men never really had mass shootings. We shoot each other. And we shoot each other over money or drugs or gang related. We really don't do mass shooting. I mean, the last one, there was a mass shooting by a black man. It was in Long Island, New York. This was back like in the 80s. And he shot up a train full of white folks. You know, so that was it. That's what like a century ago, it seems like. Oh, and all of a sudden, all these black men and women and children shot at the hands of police and on shootings in our communities too by each other. There's no crime bill. There's no anti-gun bill. You know, And all the hatred that been put forth to our community has been large, and ever so on increasing. And my final thought on the situation is the relationship between the Asian community and the black community. And I don't know if you have experiences. I always lived in black communities in urban areas, from Brooklyn to Jersey to Atlanta. Asians, preferably Chinese, opened up these Chinese restaurants. They had a career with the nail salons, and we make them filthy, filthy rich. And guess what? They don't put nothing back into the community. Nothing.
And they don't like you.
Huh?
And they don't like you, nor do they respect you.
I know. I know there's always been a problem between the Asian community and the African community. Press one if you have a comment or a question. Always been a problem. You know, and I experienced it myself firsthand. Here you go, going into the establishment. And I will be perfectly clear. No one has the right to take a human life. No one. Nada. You don't have that right. You know, and everyone should respect each other. Or be considerate. I know that's in a utopia world. I don't condone the shooting, but it especially with Biden signing this bill, came up with this bill, it triggers certain feelings within me. Like, here all these brothers and sisters, the children get shot down, and you send 1.5 million black men to prison. You know, you got the nerve that this is another slap in the face. This is another slap in the face. And you said Sean, I got to give you props. You said all year in 2020, all you got to do is go to We Talk Production Facebook page. go to the year 2020 prior to November. I say around, but we had a lot of politicians on last year, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We had a lot of politicians, I mean, all across the country. And the main thing you were asked, why Biden? Why? You know, you mean to stop selling your vote.
What he was going to do. He needed your vote, black vote, to win. And he told everybody what he was going to do if he won. He said he was going to do things for who? LGBTQ, or whatever letters they done stole, and also what he was going to do for immigrants. Now, he didn't lie and say, well, I'm going to do something for you. He did not say that. He said he wanted your vote, and black people ran out there and gave it to him. So,
like
black
idiots.
People should not be surprised.
Yeah, I went to the polling station. I went to a polling station, but I put no vote in. Because I didn't like either. Again, matter of fact, I'm gonna tell you something.
The last time I voted for a president, they fell down and not vote. Don't give them the vote. Everybody was so worried about Trump. I mean, my life didn't change whether it's because Trump was in there. It didn't affect me at all, personally.
Right.
But all these black people like Trump is racist. Yes, he's racist, but so is Biden. Trump is just outward what he is.
Right.
But
so is Biden.
Biden is more subtle.
No, it's not. Now, Biden. Biden called us
predators. No, what I mean by that is he doesn't go out there and verbally say stuff. But what he will do, he will make legislation that is racist towards black people and push his agenda without coming out. He won't actually say it. Usually, I mean, he's not like Trump, just out there with it.
Right.
But, okay, you know what? You got to look at it the same. It's the same bird, different wing. They both racist, left wing, right wing. It's just that I think the Democrats do a better job of it, being racist, because they do it in a way that black people think, oh, they're my friend. But they put out legislation and they do things to keep you down as a black person. They don't want to, Democrats don't want to see black people rise up, become prosperous. They want you to need them. They want you to be able to use their programs that they need funding for, where you can keep them in their positions. I mean, yeah, they'll come around. They have preachers. They'll show up at your church.
Pull a saxophone on your show. Talk to strippers. You know what I'm saying? They'll go to a strip club with you. And they praise the Lord with you.
Exactly. Get your vote and then buy. We got what we wanted from you. You don't demand nothing from us for real. You go out there and march, nobody cares about marching. You go out there and protest, they don't care about that. You can tear up a building, it's probably insured. They'll be paid. But what you don't do is go out there and hit them where it really counts. It's in their pocket, economically. You mess with their money, they're going to be begging to sit at your table.
Well, why should we want, again, and this always been my argument, why should we break our neck to sit down at the table with them with a bunch of people that don't respect us and like us and build our own table? Why are we so scared
to do our own thing? I don't feel like we should sit at their table or beg for a spot at their table, because you did have a guest on not too long ago who that's all she talked about was sitting down at their table, and we should be getting together. We should be talking about inclusion, being included with them.
So we could become mass shooters, so we could become right-wing to storm the Capitol, so we could walk around with AK-47.
But if we stormed the Capitol, it would have been a different outcome. If we were mass shooters, it would be a different outcome. That shooter into custody. If it was black, he would have never made it out of there.
But you ain't hear, the police officer that arrested him. You ain't hear what he said about the shooter in Atlanta of the Asian massager. He was having a bad day.
Really?
You need to tell me.
Oh, I heard that.
You need to tell me if I go out and shoot up a Kroger or barbershop.
Because you would have been armed. You'd have been dangerous. You would have been a threat to society. Everything negative.
Instead of having a bad week. I know. Isn't that ironic?
I think we live in a hypocritical society where you have laws that work for certain people and others, they weren't meant to work for you at all, to work against you. So anybody that wants a seat at their table is out of their mind. Keep sitting with the enemy. They're going to offer you some coffee laced with cyanide. They're going to give you some dessert laced with some kind of poison. I mean, it's just not me. There's people out there who, I guess, want to be one with them. But, you know, I'm all for knowing my enemy, studying my enemy, just like they study you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Elijah Muhammad said that too. You know, study your enemy because he's very smart and very successful, but don't become like him. But we became like them. We are just like them. Matter of fact, I like to say we're more white than white. And I don't want nobody to misunderstand. I'm just not talking about the people. I'm talking about the system. And I'm talking about the supremacy. And I'm talking about the privilege, you know, versus, because we're citizens too. And we're better citizens. We are. You could be as us, historically, you could be us, slappers, bombers, and everything. We still consider ourselves, and by right, Americans. Good Americans. But you, the system, don't consider us as Americans. And I was listening to a Malcolm X speech from, I just want to say 1959. I want to say that. And when I DC, and he said, if we were considered citizens, why do we need a civil rights bill? If we were considered citizens, why we need a voters' rights bill? If we were considered citizens, why would we need any legislation for equal rights? We should be treated, we would be treated citizens, or we'd be considered citizens, but we're not. And that's why people want to have these bills, you know, and then he went on some other issue or subject to the solution and everything. I don't want to get into all of that. But we don't get the same treatment, and we are Americans. And we're good at it. We fight in your wars. We patrol your streets. We participate in your economic system where it don't benefit us. We damn good citizens. The best.
Well, you know what? Freedom does not guarantee you to have rights.
I know. Other people have benefits.
And it doesn't necessarily make you an actual citizen either.
We're not considered citizens, but we are. But we are. I was born in Jersey City, New Jersey. I wasn't born in the western part of Nigeria. My ancestors were. I was born right here in Jersey City, New Jersey. Jersey City, New Jersey, which make me. I didn't come over here by boat. I didn't come over here by plane. I didn't sneak over in a truck. I didn't swim across any river. I was born right here. My father was born here. My grandfather was born here. My great-grandfather was born here. My great-great-great-grandfather. But I can't go beyond that. I don't know. Maybe he was brought over by the rest of part of Nigeria. But what I'm saying is that we have every right to the privilege, to the benefits of this so-called United States. No. What the brother said from Milwaukee, this Western, what do you call it? Hey, it was nice. The professor we had on from Milwaukee, he called the United States something else. But anyway, in the so-called United States of America. And also, that's my whole perspective on it. And people died and everything, but it's the aftermath, you know. And I implore all of you, look at the treatment by the Asian community in our communities, and
you know what? They couldn't thrive in our communities without us. So black people need to not put their money and use their resources to make them rich. Because where I live, there's a small town that's close by. It's mostly all white. Some Indian people moved there, brought a gas station, and nobody white in that town would go to it. And they were closed within like 3 months. Nobody did.
Hey, see, we need to do this to the. Let me tell you something. I know, sister, that this is what they say out of their mouth. And it's meeting screens. I can't let nobody touch my nails except for the Korean because they're the best. Yo, are you kidding?
I have never had my nails done. I do my own. But I wouldn't dare let those Koreans touch my nails.
You take that sisters be flocking.
They get infections. They have, I don't know what those people are doing to them. But no,
I want to say this. The Chinese restaurant in the black neighborhood is not the same as the Chinese restaurant in Chinatown. I had Chinese food in Chinatown in New York. It tastes different. It tastes totally different. And here they are. And they're not the they're not the only culture neither that do this in our community. Poison us.
For real.
Man, this seems like we could go all night talking about this. Go ahead. What's one of your topics looking on?
Okay. I'm gonna get to my topic in a second, but I was just going to say when you were mentioning about us and like basically our citizenship and rights here, that you know, like that 1857 Supreme Court in the Dred Scott versus Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
Now they had declared that no black person could be a citizen of the U.S.
Is that still a bill?
I have seen where they do have some papers, like I had saw, like it had something to do with the Trayvon Martin case.
Uh-huh.
Where they did consider us basically not citizens and that, like, we had no rights.
Hey, this is my answer to this. What are our black congressmen, and senators doing? What are our black politicians on the local, state, and federal level doing? What are black lawyers doing? You know, and that's why, again, I got to go back to Malcolm. Remember we had these brothers on from Kentucky. They were from the ADOS community. And they made they made a lot of common sense. This was around the shooting of what's that sister's name? It just got a big award too. The one that was shot in her sleep. What's her name?
Anyway. Breonna Taylor.
Right, Breonna Taylor. It was so many of them. I get that's how many of us get killed in this country by the hands of police. They said that the way the police, and this will trigger what Malcolm was saying, the way the police treat black folks, and these were ex-military men, it go against the Geneva Convention. It go against the rights of the Geneva Convention. Which goes back to Malcolm always said, you cannot take the United States to their own courts. Hell,
that's just like the police policing themselves for misconduct.
Right.
Internal investigation.
You got to take the United States to the international courts. He was going to take, before he died, he was going to take the United States. He was filing papers for the UN. Again, UN is on the United States. They do many human rights violations, and the United States should be taken to the international courts for human rights violations for not treating us like citizens. And if you want your reparation, you're not going to get it through the court system of America. I'm telling you that right now. Go ahead.
Okay, for those who don't know what ADOS is, it stands for the American Descendants of Slavery. You can look it up. Okay, one of the other things that I wanted to mention was about Sharon Osbourne, who's on The Talk.
Oh.
And, yes, because there's been a lot of controversy in the media. Okay, mm-hmm. Sharon Osbourne, okay, she's on Damage Control.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon Osbourne, in my opinion, crossed the line with Sheryl Underwood during the talks, March 10th on-air debate about racism. Sharon Osbourne, who is a Karen, lashed out at Sheryl Underwood for questioning her defense of Piers Morgan's racist comments, where he criticizes the Oprah with Harry and Meghan interview that aired on March 7th.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about that last week. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Morgan spoke sparingly about Meghan Markle. He dismissed claims made by Markle of being suicidal and racism within the royal family. And Piers Morgan walked off the set of Good Morning Britain March 9th after he was challenged by weatherman Alex Beresford, who has a white mother and a Guyanese father. Beresford said that he carried his son Cruz to work one day, and which Piers Morgan sniffed and said, if this is the future of mankind, then we are dead. Piers Morgan wrote,
wow.
I mean,
wow.
Yep.
But guess what? He's only saying what they think.
And Piers Morgan also said, I had time to reflect on this opinion, and I still don't believe Meghan. Well, The Talk has been put on a hiatus. CBS is investigating allegations of racism against Sharon Osbourne, including by former co-hosts Leah Remy and Holly Robinson-Pete. When Sharon Osbourne,
that's the quarterback wife, Rodney Pete's wife.
Right. When Sharon Osbourne, who is a Karen, like I said, What she did was cross the line when she told Sherelle Underwood that she was not allowed to cry and that she should be the one crying during an emotional exchange on the show. And Sharon Osbourne has apologized to anyone of color that I have offended with her comments on the talk. But now she is calling herself a sacrificial lamb. Now, Sharon Osbourne treated Sherelle Underwood like she was less than, because I watched it. And do you think Sherelle Underwood would still have a job if she talked to Sharon Osbourne that way?
No, she'll be apologizing for days.
And
like, my man, he got that YouTube channel, and he says something about the Jews. What's his name? The actor. That was married to that singer.
I know who you talking about. The one was married to Mariah Carey.
Yeah, him. That was in Drumline. But anyway, man, he's still apologizing for it. Check this out. Jesse Jackson called New York City Hometown. He's still apologizing. That was 40 years ago, and he's still apologizing for that. So, if it would have been reversed, she would have been fired. Her name would have been ostracized. And
they wouldn't have hired her?
She would have lost her career, basically. And this has happened time and time again. Of black celebrities that wake up, that they become more conscious and everything, and they speak out and what have you, boom, they cut at the knees. Because especially if you speak out against the Jews, especially if you speak out against the Jews, if you speak out
against their white colleagues, and they think that they're one of them, they do. I see a lot of it. They get real comfortable with their colleagues and think, well, I'm one of them. And then they turn around, one of them white colleagues will turn around and let you know, you black. You not one of us. And that's what they do. They will do something, say something to let you know, you are not one of us. And then their feelings is hurt. And they all devastated because they thought they was in with these white people. So, you know what? I think Sherelle Underwood should have seen it coming, because there were rumors out before this ever happened. When Holly Robinson Pete left, she was saying that she was racist. She has said that Holly Robinson Pete was too ghetto for that show, and the next thing you know, guess who got fired?
Holly Robinson Pete.
Exactly. When they had that Oriental woman on there, I forgot her name. Okay. They had made comments before and saying that she was talking about her slanted eyes and making little remarks. So this is not nothing new. It's already been out there. It's just that the backlash was worse this time. That's all. Because there was a lot of black people on black media snapping out about it. Because, you know, black media don't care. They're going to call you out. They're going to put it out there. They putting it all over the place.
Guess what? Black
what?
Media, and I consider us a part of black
real
media,
black
but we're in
the
radio.
Like Burris types and stuff. I mean, real black media. They
need to be more on the forefront, man. You know, I see a lot of black media. They talk about religion, they be debating and stuff like that, instead of providing. You know, like Dr. Boyce Watkins, you know, on his media outlet, you know, he teaching people how to become economically stable, financially stable. I mean, he talk about issues and what have you, but he addressed them. and in solutions. You know, Dr. Claude Addison, same one, same way. But these other black media men, they talk about prison and they talk about...
You know what? I listen to also Fly Nubian Queen. Now, they hooked up with Dr. Boyce Watkins and all them
yeah.
too. But they talk about real issues, real topics.
And it's more for the black woman, you know what I mean? Yeah, which is
right,
shooting.
But they do have a lot of men who follow them also.
Mm-hmm. I caught this show a few times. I caught this show a couple of times and everything. Yeah.
Okay, and another thing I wanted to mention that was about, there was a one-year-old little boy named Legend Smalls. He was shot on March 3rd by Houston police officers chasing an armed robbery suspect who jumped into Deja Smalls' car. That's his mother. A bullet was removed from his brain. He had multiple seizures. He's fighting for his life. Their family has hired Ben Crump for their attorney. And this happened.
Ben Crump ain't no glorified ambulance chasers. You know, if they're police shooting by
police.
Well,
you got to have somebody.
Yeah.
But this happened when David Smalls.
But there's some other black lawyers up in there. Ben Crump ain't the only black lawyer.
But maybe they're not putting themselves out there like that. You don't know. If you don't know, how you going to call somebody you don't know about? Me, I'm going to call somebody that I know. I don't heard about getting the job done.
Yeah, he gets the job
That's
done.
That's what I'm going to call first. What had happened was this young girl, Deja Small, she was at a gas station pumping gas. She had got into her car, and this robbery suspect was running, saw her, jumped in her car, sat on her, on top of her, and the police just opened fire on a car. They hit the suspect as well as her one-year-old son. The suspect died from the wounds he received. Now, do you think that the police would have opened fire on a suspect if he was white and a white person was getting the gas?
All you got to do is look at the Colorado, the recent shootings, and these are mass shootings. And we talked about...
Of course they wouldn't have shot
him. We talked about... A robbery suspect versus a murder suspect, a mass shooter suspect. They always come out alive and be taken to Burger King. How about South Carolina, where 9 black folks were shot in that church about 4 years ago? They took the white boy. He was a white boy. He was like 18, 19 years old. And took him to Burger King. Black
so
you
know
be taking you
they
get something to eat while you get a bologna
and do
sandwich.
Else for somebody white.
No, they wouldn't have opened fire.
Like I said, if he was a white suspect, they wouldn't have shot up that girl's car. She didn't know him. She would just happen to be there with her baby getting gas.
And they got this all on tape. They should have it all on tape, too. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. With all this stuff going on, I didn't hear about it. Wouldn't this happen again?
Okay. That had happened on March 3rd in Houston.
Wow. And I'm just hearing about it. I've been on black media outlets. I haven't heard anything about it. I listen to black shows on YouTube.
It didn't make no national news,
every day,
of course.
Every day. Every day.
Yeah, this just happened.
No, this is March 23rd. This happened on the 3rd.
Yes, it happened March 3rd.
Huh?
Right. Right. I want to mention something else. I don't agree. I got problems with this, but I want to read it to you. Illinois passes reparations for eligible black residents. The money is to be used for housing. I think it's all BS on this one. Totally. A Chicago area city on Monday has become the first city in the U.S. to offer reparations to black Americans. According to ABC News, eligible black students of Evanston, Illinois, will receive $25,000 starting this spring from a $10 million fund that will be distributed over the next 10 years, which is nothing. The program is funded by a 3% tax on newly legal recreational marijuana sales, per ABC News. Evanston City Council voted 8-1 Monday to pass the initiative, according to reports. The payment will be used for housing and will address disparities that are rooted in historic and anti-black policies that were specifically enforced by the city of Evanston. Alderman Robin Simmons, who represented the city's 5th district, told the news, Simmons believes that it was important for Evanston to take actions that were truly reparative in application and beyond apology. Around $400,000 will be targeted for this housing initiative. Still, the city will eventually launch a public disclosure process to see what other programs the money could be used for, Simmons said. The city's decision to move forward with the program wasn't met without controversy. A Facebook called Evanston's Rejects Racist Reparations blasted Evanston's decision and previously called for the city's mayor and alderman to delay the vote approving the measure. Okay, they said, we have come together as residents to fight against fake reparations. The group wrote on Tuesday, we reject racist reparations and demand a better, more responsive, more complete program that provides access to reparations, acts of actual repair to black folks. Simmons said that she does not take policy recommendations from Facebook, but said she was disappointed over the characterization. It's a far-fetched to hear that building wealth targeted to the black community is racist, she said. Simmons added that while $25,000 isn't enough, that it's a good start, but private businesses, churches, and individuals have all added to the fund, according to Simmons. So basically what they're saying is they're going to give black people in Evanston $25,000 over a 10-year period, which is nothing, and they're gonna use it for housing. They don't get to do what they want to with the money.
Suppose they want to use it for housing. Suppose they want to start business. They can't start business with it.
No.
They can't buy property with it.
No. How you gonna buy property with it unless you won't be able to pay for it? There's not enough money to pay for it. They $25,000, but it's going to take 15 years to get it.
No,
you
have
15 years to get it.
It's $25,000 a year over a 10-year period?
No, it's $25,000, but you get it over a 10-year period, but it has to be used for housing. I think it's BS, and I think it's crazy. And I don't even know how anybody could even think of passing that
who
off as reparations.
This bill? And the woman Simmons sponsored this bill?
It was like the city of Evanston, the mayor, the aldermans. Yes, which I think is absolutely crazy. How are you going to say you're going to give somebody reparations? It's going to take them 10 years to get $25,000. But they have to use it for housing. I guess if they don't use it for housing, then what happens with the money? Okay, what if you don't live that long? Can your kids inherit it? So, no, I think it's BS. And they shouldn't even be calling it reparations. Because I think
that's just like any descendant of a slave. That's just like receiving welfare, really. That's less than $200.
They probably get more in welfare than they giving out in a year.
Okay, and then how are you going to tell somebody how to use it? And why would it take 10 years to give somebody $25,000?
I don't know. Some is funny here. Some don't smell good. But
you have to use it for housing. So, okay, if you rent, what are they going to do? Even if they brought it out, it wouldn't pay probably 2 or 3 months rent for one person for a year if they were renting. So, no, I think it's crazy. I think that anybody black who fall for that and think it's reparations, I think they have lost their minds.
So who's the mayor, Edison? Is he black or white?
You know what? I can Google that real quick. Now, I do know Evanston is mostly black because I do know people who live there. But
so, I just want to know that, like, who's the sponsor of the bill and how did they come up with the figures? And also, finally, you know, why 3% of the tax? You know, there are other ways for cities to generate income on funding for this reparation bill. It's
they have a white mayor.
Oh, there you go. Take this $200 a year and shut up. You know, and I would like to find out who sponsored, what councilman or alderman I have sponsored this bill. What name is on the bill? I think you said Simmons, right? Who's Simmons?
Let me see. There is a former state senator and gubernatorial candidate, Daniel Biss, claimed victory Tuesday night in the race for Evanston's mayor. Let me see. Let me see if I can Google who sponsored this bill.
Because I want to know how this person, you know, come up with this with this figure. How did this person just like come up with $25,000 over a 10-year period, which is equal to maybe $200 a year? Did he just add up all the black folks in Edison and just divide? How did he come up with the figure? You know, probably who the sponsor of the bill. Well, alderman or councilman is the sponsor of the bill. Dad, we only got like 10 minutes left. Check this out. I have a question. And I have a question.
Okay.
And whoever download the show, you know, I have you start thinking. You know, I was talking to Wayne the other day. The host of part of Harlem Radio on the Week Talk production, and he got fascinated, you know. And I said, "Well, you know, Wayne." I said, "Brother Wayne, I don't know. I'm not really not comfortable yet with the fascination, with the fascine. You know, I hear different, you know, reports." That people die after they take the vaccine. Then I hear other reports I work with folks that took the vaccine and they say, hey, yo, they feel great. You know, they feel great afterwards and everything. But this been a question in black media. Black folks trust this vaccine. Should we trust it? You know.
Okay, what they should be asking, should black people trust white people? Should be the question.
Is it, and why is traditional media, outlets, putting black people out front. Take the vaccine, like Bill Russell. Take the vaccine. Take the vaccine.
Yeah, I've been seeing that too.
And like, they trying to get LeBron to force him to go out and publicly just say, take the vaccine, you know? And LeBron said, look, man, I got my, that's my privacy. That's for me and my family to discuss about whether she could take the vaccine or not. And check this out. I was watching on my day off, and like I had to charge up the laptop and the telephone at the same time. So I took a break from working on We Talk Productions. You know, I was watching Dr. Oz, and Wendy Wien was on there. And she was talking about how her show, you know, social distance, everybody got to wear a mask. So Dr. Oz said, I know you're getting offense. He said, no, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. So he asked the same question in a different way. You know, he's explaining how different reports, blah, say he went through the whole soliloquy. And he said, I don't care what you said. I'm not taking the vaccine because I don't trust it. And this what really shocked me. This what got me. I damn near fell on the floor. History has shown since Tuskegee that the medical industry has not been on the side of black people. No, she said African-American. I said, Wendy said that, because you know Wendy is the pretty girl and,
right,
you know, gossip column, but she's our first black gossip columnist. I mean, she blown Joan, God rest the soul, and Joan Rivers blew General Rivers out the waters. You know, so, I was shocked, you know. I shouldn't be. But again, you know, he said, no, I'm not supporting this. I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to social distance on my show. And I'm not going to go out in public a lot, you know. So I'm going to listen to the protocol. But unless there's a bill with me, same with my book, unless there's a bill, because now they're trying to say, now they're going to say, like, after the summertime, you know, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't travel, you can't do this, you can't go to the concert, you can't go to the games, whatever like that. So
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, they said they're thinking about doing that to make people take part of
no, it's another plan.
There's another plan.
Oh yeah, this is another plan. You know, they did this just to make sure, like, let's see what we get people to do.
And plus,
let's see
it's
how
money.
Many would do it.
And plus, it's money.
We're gonna see what we gonna come up against when we do what we really planning on doing. You got people out here.
You got to
do
remember.
Do what we saying than the others.
Do you have to remember this vaccine, right? It's supported by Bill Gates. Bill Gates has been on record talking about population control. We need to have population control, you know?
Oh, he's been on record talking about killing the black population. He owns most of the farmland in the United States now, the majority of it. He just bought it up.
Mm.
So he can control the food. So he can do his little GMOs and poison the food that you get.
You know, I would tell some person that's a millennial the last week, you know, food is much different today than when I was young. Food is much, much different today than 40 years ago.
I can't even find grapes and seeds in it anymore.
Yeah. You know, we
everything's genetically modified.
Yeah. So, we, you know, the foods that we eat, man, like, they can't be trusted. And some of the foods that they eat, you know, cause cancer. You know, it has to be known to cause cancer. The stuff that they're putting in the chicken, the poultry, and the beef, and, you know, and whatever.
Well, that's definitely population control. You know what? They would lock up Dr. Sebi for telling people to eat herbs and things like that. And Bill Gates is not a doctor or anything, but he can tell them what he wants them to do with all these vaccines.
Right.
And he has say so.
And right now, I'm on the fence. Unless they come out with some legislation and say, all for you to do this, you got to take. That's the only way I'm going to really take it, because I heard
and
I don't knock anyone. And believe me,
it's something that's going to happen to somebody now. It's like 5 years from now, what's going to happen? 3 years from now, what's going to happen to you? Your head's going to shrink?
I'm not telling anyone not to take the vaccine. That is your own individual right. Me, myself, and I'm going to do a little bit more research. And I've been hearing scientists say that on the average, it takes 5 years to come up with a vaccine because of clinical trials and control groups. Now, this thing came out in 8 months. This thing came. You talk about fast foods, everything fast and whatnot. You know how I feel about fast food. This is not good for you. And this is basically, to me, the same thing. Hey, y'all, we got 2 minutes left. So I guess we got enough time today. But usually I always end up, what's coming on tomorrow night? So we got enough time today. What are you going to discuss on your show tomorrow night?
Oh, I have a guest. His name is Ray Eagleston. He's going to be talking about some current events, but from a different perspective, because he believes things differently. He's going to be talking about some of these politicians and the rich people, the 13th family. He's going to be talking about the reptilians. He's going to be talking about these celebrities who they claim that they have seen shift. He's going to be talking about how there's a rumor out there that's saying that Beyonce is also related to the royal family. I don't know if it's true or not. talking about some conspiracies that are out there and... Mm-hmm.
Should be interesting.
It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. Okay, folks, another week. I appreciate you in listening. And also, again, thank you for downloading the show. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Everybody have a good night. I'll be listening tomorrow night.